sometimes words are not enough. God is beyond human comprehension, but the only thing that we have to try and explain our experience of God is words. So we do our best with the limited words that we have and try to describe the indescribable. But since we can't quite describe it as we best want to, we oftentimes use a lot of words in an attempt to try and get as close as we can to describe the indescribable. Communion is one of those things at church that is indescribable. So simple and yet so complex. We do our best to try and describe and talk about what happens at communion and our experience of communion, but there are so many different ways to speak about communion. I mean, just look at all the different names that we call communion. Holy Communion, Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper. These are just a few of the names, a few words that we try and use to name and describe our experience at communion. And each of these words describes a different aspect or different element of our experience of communion. The word communion comes from community, connection with each other and communion with God. So in communion we find communion, community with God and with our fellow brothers and sisters. The word Eucharist, that's often a very strange word that many of us don't know what it means, but the word Eucharist is a Greek word coming from the word thanksgiving. So we give thanks to God for this meal. Also, we have the sacrament of the altar, also very big word, sacrament. Sacrament is a big word that we often use to describe where God shows up, where God promises to be present, and where God gives us promises as well. And so we have the sacrament of the altar. And then the Lord's Supper is another name often used describing that Jesus is the host of this meal. This is God's meal, not our meal. Those are just a few words that we try and use to describe our experiences as we name Holy Communion or Communion. Each of them captures a different and important aspect of communion, but it doesn't quite grasp the whole of it. And so in order to help us try and grasp the amazing experience in communion and try and describe as best we can in words, I thought it would be best not only to use my words today, but also to hear words from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I asked a few people here at Zion to share with me what is important to them about communion. So let us hear what they have to say.
Holy Communion is a test as a community if we can accept everyone around the rail without preconditions. And so it's our constant reminder of who is in and who is not out and who we can welcome and who can be part of the kingdom. And we need that weekly reminder that everyone's welcome.
I think communion is important because it is a time that I get to commune with my fellow Christian brothers and sisters.
It is a weekly remembrance of the sacrifice that was made on my behalf.
Overwhelming to me. And now he's not, he's saying this is not the same supper. This is different. Instead of just bread and wine, I'm telling you, because of what I'm going to do and have to do, that this is my body and this is my blood. And he also gives a new directive, a new covenant, if you will, that they are to love one another. And that directive comes to us too. And so every time I go to the Lord's Supper, I have to say thank you to Jesus and to God for what they have done for me.
Communion is special to me because it shows that God, or Jesus, really cared about us, and he died on the cross so that way we could have his blood and his body representing the wine and the bread. And I think that's really cool because Jesus loves us so much that he would give everything he has up for us. And he reminds us every day, or every day that we come here, that he is with us no matter what, through the blood and the bread.
I'm sure you all could add to that as well, but just a few of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ sharing why communion is important to them. And you can see the vast variety just in those few people that we asked about their experience of communion and why it's important to them. And so you can see, as we try and describe the indescribable, it truly boggles the mind because we can't grasp all that communion truly is. We can never really understand it in totality, and so we do our best. Truly, Holy Communion is indescribable, but it is also very simple as well. As we are exploring big words, simple faith, we look at the simple words of Martin Luther that come to us in the Small Catechism to help us try and grasp this indescribable experience. And so Martin Luther, in his section talking about communion, says, "What is communion?" And his answer is, "It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink." Just one sentence, but even this sentence is a very densely packed sentence with a lot of meaning. Even these few simple words given to us by Martin Luther can get very complex, but we see in these simple words, as we kind of tease them out to begin to understand what they mean for us, we hear that it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine. Jesus' presence is here with you. Communion is the body and the blood of Jesus. "Here I am," Jesus says. These come from the very same words that Jesus used when he instituted and gave the disciples the Lord's Supper on the night of his arrest, before he was crucified. Jesus says to those first disciples, "This is my body given for you." Jesus' body and Jesus' presence, as he says, "Here I am." We hear a powerful story today in our gospel lesson about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, two followers of Jesus, and it is the day of the resurrection, but they don't know that yet. They've heard some stories about how Jesus' body was no longer at the tomb and there were angels, and the women said that the angels told them that Jesus was still alive, but they're not quite sure if that's really true. And so they are leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus, going maybe back to their homes and to their lives. And while they're on that road, Jesus encounters them and begins to walk with these two followers of Jesus. They don't recognize him while he's walking with them, and as they're walking together, they talk about all the things that have happened. They talk about their hopes and how they had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. And then Jesus begins to explain to them all about the scriptures and how the Messiah is to suffer and then to enter into his glory. But these disciples, these followers, still don't see it. It's hard to understand. It doesn't make any sense. It's getting to be close tonight. It's not good to be out on the road. And so they invite this stranger, "Why don't you stay with us tonight and, you know, continue on your journey tomorrow?" And so while they are at dinner together, at supper together, it says that Jesus took the bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. These are the very same actions that Jesus did at the Last Supper, when Jesus gave his disciples the Lord's Supper. He told them to do this in remembrance of him. And it says that Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. When Jesus did this with the disciples who were on the road that night, took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, suddenly their eyes were open and they began to see. Truly, Jesus had been with them all along. They simply had not recognized him. It was only in the breaking of the bread that suddenly Jesus is revealed to them. And then it says that Jesus vanishes. It always seems a bit strange to me at that point in the story because Jesus just disappears from their sight. And I wonder why would Jesus suddenly leave at that point? But the more that I've really reflected on why would Jesus suddenly vanish at the moment that they recognize him, it begins to me to seem that Jesus vanishes at that point because Jesus isn't actually vanishing. Instead, Jesus is still there with them. Jesus is present with them there in the bread. This is my body, Jesus said. And while they can no longer see Jesus in the bodily form they had seen him that day, Jesus has not left them at all. Instead, Jesus is right there with them, present in the bread. This is my body. Here I am, Jesus is saying. Now, how this all can be that Jesus is present there in the bread, Jesus' body is present, is a mystery. And this is where we can get into a lot of words trying to describe the indescribable and how it can possibly be that this is bread and wine and also Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. And I can tell you that there are books and books and volumes of words trying to describe this. And yet, it's truly indescribable. Instead, we hear it's a mystery. Instead, we are invited to believe and trust Jesus' words to be true words. Because Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood. Here I am." Every time you receive communion, Jesus is saying to you, "Here I am. I'm here. In bread and in wine, the body and blood of Jesus under the bread and wine." Jesus is with us as he promises he will be. He promises that I am with you always. Jesus is always with us, not only here in the bread and the wine, always present with us, but in communion, we have a special reminder of Jesus' presence with us. We, as humans, often need to see and taste and touch to believe. And so Jesus knows that about us and gives us this gift of his presence every time we take the bread and the wine, his body and blood there with us to remind us of this promise that here I am. Here I am with you. And Jesus also is present with us as he says, "Here I am for you as well." We hear whenever we receive communion, we receive the bread and the words are said to us, "The body of Christ given for you." When we receive the wine or the grape juice, we hear the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." This is done for you. Jesus has given his life for you. And Jesus has given his life so that we may have forgiveness of sins, that we may have new life and salvation with God. And so truly we find that in this meal, we receive forgiveness of sins for you. This meal is a meal that is a meal for sinners. Oftentimes we think that this is such an amazing meal, Jesus' presence of bread and wine, body and blood, here, right here. I'm not worthy to receive such an amazing gift. And yet, when we truly think about it, no one is. Not even on that first night when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, gathered around that table the first night were Peter, his disciple who would soon deny him, Judas, the disciple who would soon betray Jesus, and all of the rest of the disciples gathered around that table who would flee in fear and leave Jesus abandoned. No one there that night was worthy to receive such a gift. None of us are. And yet, this is the gift given to each one of us, given to you, the forgiveness of sins, given for you. And so sinners gather around this table, sinners who are in need of Christ's presence in their life, in need of forgiveness, believing that Jesus is present here, believing the words, "This is my body, this is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of sins." In this meal, we are fed. We are fed on holy food, and we are forgiven. Fed and forgiven, as Jesus gives this gift to me and to you. Jesus is present, as Jesus says, "Here I am with you." As Jesus says, "Here I am for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Here I am for you." Amen.